Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. The only thing I like better than baseball is saving people money. Start saving now with a cash out refinance at thehomeloanexpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Welcome into Scoops with DannyMac.com, and this will be my daily podcast with Derek Gould. Every day of spring training, Monday through Friday, keeping you up to date on what's happening with the St. Louis Cardinals. We're coming to you from the Lou Fuse Automotive Studios down here in Jupiter, Florida. Remember, Lou Fuse is St. Louis. They're proud to support the community they call home. Shop 14 brands at 10 different locations. Just head to fuse.com today. If you missed it, there's a full podcast with Mike Schilt currently up, the Cardinals manager. Had a long visit with him a couple of nights ago down here in Jupiter about what spring training means to him in terms of the players that he has coming back and some that aren't here, what that means for the Cardinals roster. So make sure you check that out at scoopswithdannymac.com. Also, there's videos on my Twitter feed, Facebook, and Instagram showing off behind the scenes what's happening down here with the St. Louis Cardinals as many of the players are trickling in. Today, the official report day for the St. Louis Cardinals in terms of pitchers and catchers, but many of the players are here anyway as well, meaning position players, in addition to all the pitchers and the catchers for Mike Schilt and his staff. We're coming to you from the Lou Fuse Automotive Studios on Scoops with Danny Mac. Remember, Triad Bank is a full-service financial institution established to provide a wide range of commercial and personal banking services to closely held businesses like mine, scoopswithdannymac.com. We do our banking with Triad Bank. I hope you will as well. Triadbanking.com to find out more. Triadbanking.com. Up next, we'll visit with Derek Gould of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Are you ready for the boys of summer? Well, pull up a front row seat at Hot Shot Sports Bar and Grill for all the Cardinals action this season at one of their 11 area locations. During every Cardinals game, you can enjoy the new Hot Shots Triple Play Special featuring a large pizza, order of boneless wings, and a bucket of Bud Family bottles, available for a great price. Also, be sure to join the party on the last Tuesday of each month this season for Hot Shots Ticket Tuesday and your shot to score a pair of tickets to an upcoming game. Don't forget to score $1 Hot Shots Tacos any day after the Cardinals score 8 or more runs. Hot Shots, proud home of Cardinal fans since 1990. Your home for all the games, all the time. Find a Hot Shots location near you. HotShotsNet.com. So here we go from the Lou Fuse Automotive Studios on Scoops with DannyMac.com. We'll have daily Monday through Friday podcast with Derek Gould of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, who is down here covering the St. Louis Cardinals. It is now report day as we visit on this Tuesday morning. And Derek, it's going to be an interesting camp. I think the biggest question mark going into this season undoubtedly is the offense. Where is the offense going to come from? And I'm sure that's something they're trying to figure out as we speak.
Yeah, and the 10 questions, you know, that we do, or I guess in 2013 it was 13 questions, but weren't really going to do 20 questions, I guess. We should have. But in the 10 questions to kind of preview spring training, I think, you know, it really, as I was mapping them out, it's like, God, every question could be, you know, about the offense. The first one is, you know, how are they going to score more runs? The second one is, where is Matt Carpenter? You know, where's his swing? Because he's so vital to this offense. You know, and then the other one was, like, who's going to play in the outfield? You could also lump in who's going to be leadoff, who's going to bat cleanup. I mean, it's remarkable. And talking to Mike Schilt the other day, and this is a team that won the division. This is a team that many people, you know, despite what some of the vocal fans say on Twitter, that, I mean, in baseball, and you hear from these same people, you know, scouts and opposition, they think the Cardinals are the favorite to win the division again, even with the very active offseason from the Reds. And still it's like, okay, yeah, but they don't know who their closer is. They don't know who their cleanup hitter is. They don't know who their leadoff hitter is. They don't know who their fifth starter is. I mean, it's like they're I don't know if they've had this many prominent unknowns coming into a spring when they're also viewed as a contender. It's fascinating.
It is fascinating, and it seems like every year John Mozeliak has a guy that he really targets to get an extension, to keep him in the fold. So I'm curious, we were talking off air about this, but your thoughts on who that might be, or maybe there's a number of players that could be looking at an extension here in Jupiter.
So we know one conversation is going to be with Yadier Molina. Yadier Molina would like that conversation. The Cardinals would like that conversation. It's all but scheduled. You know, the same agent who represents Marcell Ozuna represents and has represented Yadier Molina for all these contract extension with the Cardinals. He and the Cardinals spoke at the general manager's meeting. He let the Cardinals know this is what Yadi's plans are. Yadi articulated it at the winter warm-up that he wants to play a few more years, but he wants to play with the Cardinals or no one else. So they have all agreed that they're going to meet here in Florida and come to terms. I mean, that seems like a given. The one the Cardinals want but won't probably happen is Jack Flaherty. That's a conversation the Cardinals would readily have. But I don't know if there's much traction for that, especially because it's like, well, what do you offer him? You know, is he going to accept the volatility of giving up his free agent years? He really has drawn a line in the sand there. The sneaky one would be Colton Wong. Colton Wong is coming up on the final year of his guarantee. That we saw last year spurred conversation driven by Carpenter's side for an extension for Matt Carpenter. So think of it in those terms, is Colton Wong is entering the same spot in his contract that Matt Carpenter was, not Yadier Molina. Yadier Molina is entering the final year of his contract. Colton is just entering the final guaranteed year, and there's an option after that. So the conversation is natural to be had, like, okay, well, does that option fold into something, and then it becomes a three-year extension or something like that?
In terms of the outfield, that's the big question mark. Left field, and I'm going to also throw in center field. I think it's open competition. I'm not just going to hand Bader the job. I think he's got to earn it. You're looking at Lane Thomas, Justin Williams, in no particular order, Tyler O'Neill, Dylan Carlson. I don't think I've left anybody out. But out of that group, in the next 6-7 weeks, who do you see emerging? Who is going to be that guy that takes the ball and run?
Well, you got two guys who, like Austin Dean and Justin Williams, that you probably shouldn't, like, at least list in there, because let's see what Austin Dean does. Austin Dean looks a lot like Jose Martinez as far as the track record and the success at AAA. Did he need a fresh start like Jose Martinez did? Did he need a new look? Maybe. Maybe that's where this is headed, and then we saw what Jose Martinez became with the Cardinals. Justin Williams, strong finish, left-handed bat, doesn't get included in the conversation much because he's still young, still kind of unknown, and also just had a really, not much of a season last year, but he needed that assertive finish to reestablish himself in the Cardinals' plans. I mean, he doesn't have that strong finish, then the Cardinals probably aren't talking about him or having him on the 40-man roster. So you're right. I mean, those are kind of the sleeper guys, but you're right. I mean, I agree wholeheartedly with you. The Cardinals have said Harrison Bader's their starter and center. He's the incumbent, but those at-bats are up for grabs. He's not going to play every game of Grapefruit League play. You know who might play the first, like, 18 games of Grapefruit League play? Lane Thomas and Dylan Carlson and Tyler O'Neill, and these three guys are going to play a lot. And then some of the other guys mix in, but they're gonna get a chance to stake themselves to a claim for at bats because the Cardinals have all winter long said they have time on their side. Well, that arrives now. They can give these guys at bats, see where they're at. I do think that Harrison is gonna get a chance to get ready for the season, but he needs to impress offensively early. He needs to show a different kind of discipline, a different kind of approach at the plate. That doesn't mean that he has to have like a high average or fill the box score up with numbers and stuff like that, but he's got to at least show them that he's progressing towards being a different and more consistent hitter. Dylan Carlson has to leapfrog over guys. It's not just enough for Dylan Carlson to have a banging great spring. I mean, he could go out there and be Hank Aaron, and if Lane Thomas and Tyler Neal also perform well, then Dylan Carlson is headed off to Memphis to start the year and then up soon. But if one of these guys falters, you know, if Lane Thomas overtakes Bader in center and there's questions as to what happens in left, and Dylan Carlson is there doing Dylan Carlson things like Dylan Carlson did last spring, he could be the opening day player there.
We heard from Mike Schilt yesterday in an interview I conducted with him. Long interview. It's on the website. And one of the things was about pitching. And he said, Carlos Martinez looks great. He looks the part. He's in shape. And he's going to take the ball and run, so to speak, and be a part of that rotation. At least that's the inclination that I got. If that's the case, then it really opens up what happens in the back end of the bullpen. There's a lot of candidates for that. And it may be mix and match as they go along throughout the year until if the young man comes back, Jordan Hicks. So I think there's still question marks to an extent with the pitching staff too. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. I think it, you know, they're in a spot today where they were 12 months ago. It's been forced upon them now, and it was their choice 12 months ago where they were like, let's look at a different way of doing closer. Let's look at matchups. Let's, you know, if that's a ninth inning where there are two lefties coming up, let's have Andrew Miller available for that. That was kind of their thought. If it's one where, you know, the right-handers are coming up or there's a Chris Bryant there as the fixture that you have to get out, though I guess we won't know if Chris Bryant is even in the division yet, then let's have Jordan Hicks. You know, I mean, that was their thinking. You know, Maddox told me pretty early on that it would not shock him if, you know, 10 days into the spring, Hicks is just the closer. That's his ability, and that's eventually what we saw. This spring, you know, by forced upon them with Hicks's absence, you know, you could see a little bit more matchup oriented. Gallegos, Helsley, Miller, Brebbia, maybe a Gant, you know, those guys taking turns in closing and then allowing by, you know, I guess the season starts the last week of March. So, you know, mid-April, late April. By the end of April, you see one guy emerge. I would not, and again, we have to watch to see where things are. If Martinez is in the rotation, I would not discount Alex Reyes emerging as what Carlos Martinez was to start last season. You know, there's a lot of – it's a big fit. I mean, that's a good fit, and that's one that Schilt has wanted. Now – Reyes has to be healthy, and Reyes has to throw strikes. These are things that did not happen for him last year. I mean, it should be noted that he was demoted before he was hurt last year. But if he can be what Maddox and what Schilt think he can be, it's very, very easy to see that by, you know, April he'd be the setup guy, and by May he'd be the high leverage guy, and that would free up all these other guys to then maybe be the closer or be other assignments. And then by All-Star break, you know, when Jordan Hicks is ready to come back, maybe it's Hicks setting up for him.
You're in the media, you understand how writers work and how we all work, and now that players have gathered in their respective camps, more and more talk is going to be about what happened with Houston, Boston, and maybe other teams. How much of that storyline of cheating in the game of baseball is going to be the underlying current of maybe the entire league going into opening day of this season?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, Dan. I think it's going to be the, excuse the pun, the drumbeat behind a lot of it. You know, but I don't know. It's a great question because I've thought a lot about it too. Like, how many different ways do you ask that question? Like, it comes up at the start of camp, okay, you know, because the Cardinals are going to address it with the clubhouse. Then it comes up again when they start playing games because, okay, now we're in it. And then it comes up again in that first week of actual games that count because here it is. I think that's an entry point to a larger conversation of the. And I don't know if we're going to have it or we're just going to dance around it on the role technology has played in shaping the game. You know, you and I have talked in the past, and I'm a big believer in this, that tools that were once used to evaluate players and get greater value and better understanding of what makes a great player are now controlling the game, are now dictating how the game is played. I don't know if that's a bad thing or a good thing or whatever, but the style of game that we have now, that we watch, that we go to the game and see, and that it concerns some of us because of the pace of it, is really reflective of the hold statistics have had and analytics have had on now shaping the game, not just shaping how we evaluate the game. And then tech plays into that because you can see reading the Wall Street Journal or reading the commissioner's report, you can see how, you know, the Houston Astros were like, look, we got a 10th man on the field here, and that 10th man is AI, and we're going to utilize it to absolutely either push the edges of what's acceptable or push past them, as it turns out, but also, you know, decode the game. That should give us all pause and concern.
I totally agree, and I'll wrap it up with this, and then we'll get more into tomorrow on what's happening on the field once these guys finally do hit the field and start throwing their bullpens and BP and whatnot. And most of them are in camp as we speak. But the 26-man, how do you think that's going to affect the game and affect Mike Shildt and what he can do?
Let's have this conversation. Okay, this is good. All right, so I am of a mind that, well, they have Ronel Rovello that they have purposefully squirreled away here to be that 26th man. You know, they negotiated a deal for him to go to Korea to make more money. They had that deal in place, and then the Rays offered Libertor and all that kind of took place where Jose Martinez was part of that deal. So the Cardinals then quickly backtracked on the deal with Korea, told Ronel, no, there's a spot for you in the majors. So the implication there is like, hey, man, you got a good chance of being the 26th man as Jose Martinez's replacement, or else they would have let him go make more money in Korea. Okay, I think it's pretty telegraphed, right? There has been, and this is what I want to talk, there has been like this, like, I don't know how to describe it, but there's been speculation that they would go with a third catcher. And this has been discussed both at STLtoday.com and in other media outlets. I'll be honest. What? I don't. Why? What? Why? Can you answer that? Why would they rust Andrew Kisner? Why would they have him spectate? What's the benefit?
The only thing I can think of is that then you can use Wieters from the left side earlier in a game, and you're still protected with Kisner late if Yadier Molina gets hurt or whatever the case may be. And that's, you know, they don't have a lot of left-handed depth, and that's the only thing I can think of with that. I'd really be interested in this spring to see if Kisner, who is by trade an infielder before he moved to catcher, would they give him some time on the infield just to make him more versatile? I wonder if that would happen this spring.
Yes, that is going to happen. That's been discussed before. You know, it's time at third base, time at first base. Yeah, he saw some of that. That was I'm remembering this correctly. That was something that Mike Matheny started. Like the live bat, wanted to find a way that if he got to the majors, you could use him, especially like, say, September, stuff like that. So absolutely, that would make much more sense. However, let me, if I can offer a counter argument there, with the three-batter minimum, right, wouldn't you rather just have a better bat than a left-handed bat? I mean, look, if Matt Wieters is a left-handed pinch hitting extraordinaire, like a guy who can, and he could be, right? He did pretty well. He had 11 home runs last year and everything. So he's got power, but in the way the game is set up now, I would like to hear the explanation for why having a left-handed bat in the age of three batter minimums, especially if that left-handed bat is Matt Wieters, is so valuable that you don't get playing time to your top catching prospect who needs to get more time behind the plate to be sharper defensively, to call better games, who needs that experience. Kisner needs that experience. And, I mean, he's talent, live bat, all that stuff, but he needs that experience. And I'll tell you why he needs that experience. He needs that experience if in May Yadier Molina misses 2 weeks, or if in July Yadier Molina goes on the injured list and you need a starter. Because look, Andrew Kisner can be in AAA and be your backup catcher if you need somebody for a lengthy period, and he can come up and start five out of seven games and have Wieters be the other guy, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if you put him on the bench as a spectator and say, you know, here's a ticket to a really good view of the game, and don't use him, then he can't be that guy. He may, and you might set back his development.
I would agree. But we'll find out here in spring training. It kicks off today, and the players have, pitchers and catchers have officially reported, and we're off and running, my man. Thanks. We'll catch up tomorrow.
So Dan McLaughlin Scoops has officially reported then too, right?
That's correct.
All right. Officially reported to Jupiter, Dan McLaughlin. Great. Scoops.
Hair Saloon for Men, proud sponsor of ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Home base in St. Louis, founded in 1997. 16 locations. You'll receive the perfect haircut, complimentary beverage, relaxing shampoo, hot towel and a mend, complimentary shoe shine, all for just $22. And for an extra $5, get a stress-relieving scalp massage. Hair Saloon for Men, 16 locations. There's one near you. Hair Saloon for Men.